Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra's Kuf Yed Zayin. We are on the Mishnah on Kuf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, and we start today with Bnot Slavchad. Bnot Slavchad, obviously a big topic in the Seif Perek of Baba Basra as it deals with Nachla. And today we talk a lot of Bnot Slavchad, and the entire day is dedicated to Bnot Slavchad. So let's go back to the Psukim and let's just quickly recap. We've seen these Psukim before, but they are critical in terms of getting through the Mishnah and getting through the Gemara. So the Bnot Slavchad had a taina. They left Mitzrayim together with their father. Although the truth of the matter is, Bnot Slavchad themselves, I mean the daughters themselves, didn't leave the Mitzrayim. Presumably they were born in the Midbar. So they were, but their father Slavchad, however, was Yotze Mitzrayim. He left Mitzrayim together with Chefer. Chefer is the father of Slavchad. So as long as we're in the family tree, so it's the daughters of Slavchad, their father, of course, being Slavchad, their grandfather being Chefer, then we're going to go up a generation Gilad, then we're going to go up a generation Mechir, and then we go up a generation, it's Menashe. So they are, from a generational standpoint, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they are the sixth generation from Menashe. So the Mishpach is Menashe ben Yosef, so, and obviously Menashe being a descendant of Yosef. Okay. Their taina to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Akash Baruch Hu was very simple, and that is that their father died in the Midbar, and there are no sons, and so no one's going to be Yorish, and we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and there's going to be a Chalukas Haaretz, a division of the land of Eretz Yisrael, and they're not going to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael, and they're not. And what's going to happen to the father's portion? And the pasuk in the Torah, Lama Yigara Shema Avinu Mitoch Mishpachto, meaning, and now our father doesn't have a name. They said it's just simply very difficult to stomach. Ki ein lo ben tanala no chuzah besocha chayavinu. So they basically said, so we want a portion. So vayikrav Moshe. So Moshe takes their matter in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he seeks for a halachic conclusion on this matter. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that they're speaking correctly. So give them an achuza together with the brothers of their father, and you're going to pass over the nachla of the father over to them. So in other words, they're going to inherit their father's Yerushalayim. And then we get into the halachas of Yerusha. Now we've already discussed these halachas in Yerusha extensively since the beginning of the Perek. Perek started back on Kuf Ches. Today's Kuf Yud Zayin, tenth day of the Perek. So we already discussed the halachas of the Yerusha in general. Now we're going to basically take a step backwards, and now we're going to go back to Bnot Slavchad, and we're going to revisit exactly what they are being Yoresh. Okay, that's just a short comment in terms of what got us to this point. We go to the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off, Bnot Slavchad, not Lugimah Chalak and Menachla. So the daughters of Slavchad, so they took three portions of Nachla. So, right, they went from zero to three. In other words, it looked like they were getting nothing. And then the Mishnah tells us that they're getting three portions.
What's a portion of Nachla?
Huh?
What's a portion of Nachla?
Well, a portion meaning that whoever was going to get a piece, so they got three pieces of the pie. Okay, however big the pie was, and whatever
units of land time.
Yeah, yeah, we're correct. So Lugimah Chalakim Menachlam. So they got three portions. Chelak Avihem Shayam Yotze Mitzrayim. So they got a portion of their father that who was a Yotze Mitzrayim. Their father left Egypt, and as a result of that, dad was entitled to a portion. So they got dad's portion. VeChelkom. On top of that as well, Chefer also left Mitzrayim. So Chefer, the father of Slavchad, also left Mitzrayim. So that means that Chefer was going to get a portion. Now, Chefer didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael. So that means that Chefer's portion was going to be divided amongst Chefer's children. Chefer's children are Slavchad being one of the sons. Slavchad at this point in time was no longer alive. So that means that Slavchad's descendants are all going to get a portion of Chefer. So that means that's another portion going to the daughters.
If Chefer's portion is being divided among his survivors,
right?
So they're not going to get one unit.
Correct. Exactly. Agreed. And on top of that, so that now accounts for two chalakim. That's two portions. And then v'chalko ma'achav v'nechzei chayfer v'sheyah b'chor notos shnei chalakim. And on top of that, also news to us, and that is Slavcha was a b'chor. So Slavcha was the oldest of the children of Chayfer's children, and as a result of that, now he gets Pishnayim, and as a result of getting Pishnayim, so that is also going to go to the daughters as well. Okay, so what we have over here in our Mishnah is a simple presentation of Benot Slavcha getting not only the portion of their father and a portion of their grandfather. On top of that, they're also going to be receiving the Pishnayim that their father is entitled to get. Okay, much to discuss over here in the Mishnah. A lot of Rashbam over here. Let's just first a look at the
What would their father get a double if it's a recount receivable?
Yeah, very good, excellent. That's the right question to ask. So the Mishnah starts off over here. Sorry, the Rashbam starts off in the Mishnah. So we're talking about, obviously, in other words, we could be talking about a state in general, but over here, really, our focus is on Nachlas Eretz Yisrael, meaning we're talking about receiving portion of the land of Eretz Yisrael. As we know, the Shvatim are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. They're going to conquer the land. They're going to divide the land. Okay, and we also know, I'm just saying this parenthetically, not germane necessarily to our discussion, that on top of Eretz Yisrael proper, there was also an annexation. And we also know that some of the Shvatim, they went outside of Eretz Yisrael, they went on to the Aver HaYarden, and so, okay, so a little bit, to me it's a little bit unclear, meaning that once you had the annexation, so exactly what happened to Eretz Yisrael proper? Meaning, was it redistributed, redivided? Okay, unclear to me, but anyway. But still, really our focus over here is talking about land and Eretz Yisrael. So, question number one, which I'll raise now, and as we'll see, get to the Gemara, it's going to be really one of those fundamental questions, which is subject to a debate. Question number one. You left Mitzrayim, okay? So you're entitled to a portion. You're entitled to a portion for one of two possibilities. A, because you left Mitzrayim. That's one possibility. Or B, or because you went into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, what exactly is going to be the defining moment of entrance into Eretz Yisrael that entitles you to a portion in Eretz Yisrael? So is it Yotzei Mitzrayim? Is it the fact that you left Mitzrayim? Or is it that you are Nichnas into Eretz Yisrael? Now, the original plan, of course, is that there wasn't going to be a lot of time between the two. The original plan is that we're going to leave Mitzrayim and we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and it's pretty much going to be, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, maybe a slightly longer trek, but it was going to be pretty much within the year. Okay, we had the episode with the Meraglim. It got assigned to having to stay in the desert for another 40 years. Okay, so it didn't go as per the original plan. But still, the question remains: what exactly gives you license and title to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael? Is it the fact that you left Mitzrayim, or is it the fact that you entered into Eretz Yisrael? Our Mishnah takes a pretty clear stand on this issue, meaning because our Mishnah says, well, you know what Menot Slavchad are getting? They're getting a portion of Slavchad, their father, who clearly didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Let's assume together that Chayfer also didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. It's a fair assumption. So we don't have to assume by Slavchad. We know that Chayfer didn't get into Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to get all their portions. So our Mishnah seems to be taking a very clear stand that in terms of what is going to be the determinant of who's getting a Nachla, it's going to be Yetzias Mitzrayim, meaning those people who left Egypt, not necessarily contingent on those going into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, stay tuned. We're going to discuss that in much greater detail.
Then it was an entire generation that died in the desert because of this.
Yes, right, correct. Meaning that entire generation that died in the desert, each one of them get a Nachla, and that means then that their children are inheriting the Nachla. They're not receiving the Nachla, they're inheriting the Nachla. And we don't have to go that far, meaning that's exactly what happened with Menot Slavchad. Menot Slavchad, so they didn't receive Eretz Yisrael, they inherited Eretz Yisrael from their father and from their grandfather, and the double portion that went to their father. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so this is our topic of discussion over the course of this morning. Okay, the Rashbam we're going to look at with some detail is going to be the very long one. It's the fourth Rashbam on the Mishnah, excuse me. Vishayat Slavchad Bechor. Slavchad was the eldest. Now, Ben already addressed this question, I'm going to address it, the Rashbam is going to address it, and really the truth of the matter is, the Gemara is going to address it, meaning it's the right question to ask. We have over here the daughters of Slavchad getting not only their father's portion, but their grandfather's portion. They were both Yotzei Mitzrayim. And on top of that, the father was a Bechor, so that means they're going to get Pishnayim as well. We have learned before, we're going to learn again. It's going to be one of those topics that come up again and again in the 8th parak of Baba Basra, and that is that the Bechor only gets Muchzak, he doesn't get Roy. Meaning that if the father dies and there are holdings, current holdings on the estate, so all that is going to be divided, where the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim, he will get two times that portion. But we also know, as we have already established earlier, that if there's any ra'ui, if there's any account receivable that is going to go to the estate in the form of, let's say, an obligation, outstanding obligation, or even if there is a future Yerusha, whatever the case is, it's not a current holding, it's going to be a future. So we learn that that is not going to be assigned a Pishnayim status, meaning that eventually the estate will collect, but when the estate does collect in the future, so then that's going to be divided evenly amongst the brothers. Now, if that's true, so then let's ask a reasonable question, and that is that here, exactly, this is exactly what we're describing. Slavchad was a Bechor, and he died before receiving his portion in Eretz Yisrael, and now the daughters are inheriting. And what are the daughters inheriting? So they're going to be inheriting the Pishnayim that they're going to get. In other words, that the Jewish people are going to get. That's very difficult to understand. That's an account receivable. It is not a muchzak. So the Rashma over here writes as follows: V'shayat slavchad bechor, v'hayaroy li tol pishnei. V'hayaroy li tol pishnayim im echav b'nechzei chefer. So as far as what chefer was allocating, what he was dividing, so he was going to get pishnayim of that. V'af agav shein bechor nota b'raike b'muchzak. And the Rashma over here asked the question that we presented. I don't understand. This is an account receivable. This is not a current holding. So the Rashma says, and the Gemara is going to say it, and it's, you probably would have guessed the answer, Eretz Yisrael muchzekes liyotzei Mitzrayim. No, as far as Israel is concerned, it is considered a current holding. It is not considered an account receivable. And therefore, when the Yotzei Mitzrayim left Egypt, so even though they were not physically in Eretz Yisrael, but from a legal standpoint, this is not drush, from a legal standpoint, they were considered owners, they were considered holders of the land, and they were owners of the land. Kedamra b'gemara ukemisha hochzak chefer bechelko dami. It's as if chefer already has his portion of the land. Now, again, would he tell you where it is? I don't probably know, but that doesn't matter. In other words, from a halachic standpoint, he's considered an owner of that chelik, and now he's considered a current owner of that chelik. So when chefer dies, so then the pishnayim is in fact going to go to the oldest of his sons, who happens to be Slavchan. Correct. Whatever the mechanism is in terms of how to determine what it is, right now we're just in the more abstract and the conceptual. He owns it. So the afilu yimei Slavchan mikamich. And we're going to go a step further. Meaning, let's say Slavchad predeceases his father, Chefer. It's Pishnayim is still going to work, says the Rashbam. Because Slavchad was the oldest. And as the oldest, he's entitled to Pishnayim. And even though at the time of the death of Chefer, Slavchad was not alive, look, they're going to inherit the standard portion that's coming to Slavchad. So not only are they going to be inheriting the standard portion, they're also going to be receiving the second portion as well. And then the Rashbam says that if you look elsewhere, you're going to see all this spelled out straightforward. I'm going to skip a little bit now in the Rashbam, and let's move all the way to the end of the Rashbam. Okay, this Rashbam covers now to the next Amud, takes us into the next Amud, and basically look at the top of the next Amud. The Rashbam now is towards the end of this long piece of the Rashbam, right before the Gemara, about 6-7 lines before the Gemara, meaning when the Rashbam comments on the Gemara. What we skip, by the way, the Rashbam, if I could just catch everyone up, is that truth of the matter is that they actually get more. Meaning the Mishnah doesn't even reflect everything that the Benot Slavchad are getting. Because they're getting their father's portion, they're getting their father's second portion because his father's a Bechor, they're getting their grandfather's portion because he was also Yotzei Mitzrayim, and on top of that also, there's uncle's land that they're going to be getting as well. Uncles that didn't enter into Eretz Yisrael. And we'll talk more about that later on as well. The Rashbam over here is just saying that, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is very focused in terms of giving us three basic ideas. And here the Rashbam is summarizing the three basic ideas, and so I'm reading this inside in the Rashbam. As far as what the Mishnah is interested in teaching us, the Mishnah wants to teach us three things, and that is, first of all, what is the determinant in terms of getting land in Eretz Yisrael? Yitzias Mitzrayim. Meaning leaving of Egypt. As I pointed out, you could say Yitzias Mitzrayim, you could say it's Hachnasos La'aretz. Clearly our Mishnah is taking a very clear stand on this issue. Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's one. Two, Bas Ben Hi Keben Lirish Im Achem. On top of that, you have daughters of a son, and it's only daughters, meaning it's not, there are no sons over there. Sorry. Daughters of a person, of a man. So the daughters of a man, so they're going to inherit. And they are going to inherit as much as if their father would have inherited. So in other words, their father was going to inherit Pishnaim, they're going to receive it. And whatever the father's going to get, they're going to be receiving a portion commensurate to what their father would have received. And finally, Eretz Yisrael Muchzekes Yiliyotzei Mitzrayim V'Natal Ba B'chor Pishnaim. And on top of that, the idea, which I know we already expressed, but the Rashbam says, this is the third basic point the Mishnah wanted to teach us. And that is that when we left Mitzrayim, Eretz Yisrael was already considered Muchzekes to the people leaving Egypt. And as a result of that, so even though Slavka died in the desert, and even though he didn't physically receive the land that was entitled to him, but nevertheless, since he's considered a Muchzek in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore the Pishnaim goes to him. The Pishnaim then, since he ended up dying, the Pishnaim then gets rolled over to his daughters. Those are the three basic points that the Mishnah is interested in teaching us, and even though the truth of the matter is that Benot Slavka got even more.
If somebody left Egypt and entered Eretz Yisrael, they get two portions.
Very good. Very good question. That's coming up as well. Stay tuned. Okay, you're asking all the right questions. Okay, Tanan. We start with the Gemara. We're on Kuf Yezayinim and Aleph. We're on the very top. Tanan, Kamanda, Amar Liyotzei Mitzrayim, Nischalka Aretz. So as far as the, as I pointed out already, going into the Gemara, there is a basic question. What gives you Eretz Yisrael? It's one of two options, and believe it or not, there's actually going to be a third option. I know that's right. That's quite remarkable. But there are basically two options. Option number one, you left Egypt. Option number two, you entered into Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's a 40-year gap, and there's also another important point, which you know we're gonna note a little bit later on, and that is that there was very little overlap. Meaning, if you left Egypt, you probably didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. There are notable exceptions to that. Kalev, Yehoshua. I think we've exhausted our exceptions, right? I think Pinchas left Egypt. We could say as a general rule that there's very little overlap between the two. So what is going to be the determining factor of getting a chelik in Eretz Yisrael? So it's one of those two. It's either Yitzias Mitzrayim or it's Hachnasos Haaretz. So the Gemara now just makes a simple observation, which is that our Mishnah takes a very clear stand on this issue. Tanan, and that's where the Gemara starts off the discussion. Tanan Kamanda Amar Liyotzei Mitzrayim Nischalka Haaretz. Tanya. So the Gemara quotes now the following Braisa. And the Braisa over here is going to explore the two sides of this issue, and as I pointed out, there really is a third side to this issue. But the two sides to this issue. Number one, Rav Yoshia, Omer Liyotzei Mitzrayim Nischalka Haaretz. Rav Yoshia says that in terms of the division of the land, it goes to Yotzei Mitzrayim, those who left Egypt. Shenamar L'Shemos Matos Avosam Yinchalu. The Pasuk says that it goes to Matos Avosam. Matos, of course, meaning tribes. We've had that word a number of times already. So, Yinchalu, that is how it's going to be divided. Meaning, again, we're back in Parshas Pinchas, and right before the story of Slavchan, So the Torah goes through, once again, a counting of the Jewish people. Okay, you know, in English, Bamidbar is referred to as numbers. Okay, and this is like old school conversation. I don't know if our kids know what the English names of each one of the Chumashim are. Deuteronomy, I don't think they ever heard of that. Yeah, right. Anyway, I grew up with the Hertz Chumashim. So the Bamidbar is referred to as numbers. One of the reason why is because when they look for an English title for each one of the Chumashim, so they look for a thematic view of each one of the Chumashim. So Genesis, you know, the beginning. They did a great job. Exodus, leaving Egypt, right? Leviticus, having to do with Shevet Levi. Okay. Only now in my adult life does all this make sense to me. As a kid, all this meant nothing to me. Anyway, and finally, Bamidbar's numbers, because it kept taking a census again and again as we went through the desert. Census in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, census towards the end of Sefer Bamidbar. So that's why it's called numbers in English. Deuteronomy? No. Actually, I do know what that means. Deuteronomy means second teaching, meaning that it's a lot of review of that which was already taught in the Torah. Okay, very good. So, anyways, good for me. So the right before Bnei Slavchat, so the Torah goes through the Shvatim, goes through basic counting, a census of the Shvatim, and then the Torah says La Eila. This is now the end of Perek Chavav. This is the parak before Bnei Safchad. La Eila Techalek Haaretz Benachla B'Mispar Shemos. So to these people, you're going to divide the land. To the one who's many, you're going to increase. To the one who's few, you're going to decrease. Tomorrow, we're going to explain that pasuk. It's a very difficult pasuk to understand in this context, because the rest of the pasuk says Ish Lefi Pekudav Yitain Achlaso. Yutan Achlaso. Each one is going to be receiving based on the numbers. So what does it mean to the many, to the few? What does that mean? Okay, tomorrow we're going to see pshat. Ach begora yichalek es aretz l'shemos matos avasam yinchalu. And it's going to be done by lottery. And then l'shmos matos avasam yinchalu. It's going to be based on the tribes. Api agorot techalek nachlaso bein rav lema'at. And whether it's a lot or whether it's a little, the goral is going to make the decision, the determining factor. Okay, so there is a lot, admittedly, there's a lot of confusion in terms of the psukim themselves. In terms of you get based on the goral, you get based on your numbers. Okay, again, that's coming up tomorrow. For our purposes right now, we're just dealing with the most basic question, and that is, who gets a chelek? So right now, the Rav Yoshia, that's the first opinion in the Brisa, says Yotzei Mitzrayim, because the pasuk seems to indicate that. Now, you read the pasuk. I'll read it again. L'shmos matosa v'sam yinchalo. Where do you see Mitzrayim in the pasuk? It's a reasonable question. Hold that question. We're going to come back and answer that question a little bit later this morning. Elamani mekayim la'ela techalek ha'aretz benachala. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? If you look at the beginning of the pasuk, I read it already. It says, la'ela, to these people. Now, who are we talking about right now? We're talking about the people that are currently here, meaning not the ones who left Mitzrayim, you know, some 40 years ago. We're talking about right here, right now. La'ela. So, ka'ela lahotzi esatfala. So the Gemara says, now, when we say La'ela, we mean ka'ela. And what it means is that we're excluding those who are tefil, those who are younger. Meaning young people, I'll define that better in just a moment. So young people are not going to be receiving a nachla. Okay, so what do we have right now? We have Shitas Rav Yoshia, which is that in order to receive a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to be Yotzei Mitzrayim, you have to leave Egypt. Okay, and as far as the Torah's indication that it's for those people entering into Eretz Yisrael, no, the Gemara says, according to Rav Yoshia, the Brisa says, according to Rav Yoshia, that's just rather telling us in terms of what age you need to be. In terms of receiving, you have to be above a certain age. Okay, so what age are we talking about? La'ela techalek. So take a look at the Rashbam over here. The Rashbam explains ka'ela. I'm skipping down a little bit in the Rashbam. Shehem b'nei asrim. We're talking about 20 years of age. 20 years of age is the threshold. Delevnei asrim shiyatzim in Mitzrayim nischal ka'aretz. So that means as follows, says the Rashbam, that according to Rav Yoshia, in order for you to receive a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, you have to now have two criteria. One, you have to leave Egypt. Two, you have to be above 20. If you do not meet these two criteria, you do not receive a chelek. So let's ask a simple question.
When you enter, or when you go out?
No. You see, right now, Rav Yoshia.
You're saying you have to be 20 when you come out of it?
Yes. Yeah. No, come out of Mitzrayim. Right. Now, over Ava, lo l'tfalim shiyatu pachos mi ben chav, shalom not l'chelek ba'aretz, lo hem v'lo b'nehem. So, you're under 20 years of age. Let's say you left Mitzrayim at 18. Exciting age to have left Mitzrayim. So you left Mitzrayim at 18. So that's very nice, you know, and you have a crystal clear memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, unfortunately, you don't get a chelek. So how are you gonna get Eretz Yisrael? The answer is mom, dad, meaning well.
You're not gonna make it anyway.
Huh? Well, that. Thank you. I mean, you're right. But in terms of a chelek, yeah. So dad, so you're gonna get dad's chelek. Ella bischus mori shehem. So I'm in the Rashbam. So the Rashbam says that you're going to get it through, in other words, your ancestor, your father, who presumably was not presumably he was above 20 upon Exodus. V'im lo hayalahem shum marish shiatzam imitzrayim kigon. Now it's possible the Rashbam entertains the following: it could be that. We're going to check these boxes. You were under 20 years of age when you left Egypt, and you had no parents upon leaving Egypt. So now you are kind of
grandparents,
though. Huh? No.
You had grandparents.
Kagon shalo yalam velo dod velo velo shemesa b'midbar. I'm sorry. So the Rashbam says, look, it's unfortunate, but it's going to be the conclusion. Meaning that if you left Mitzrayim and you were under 20 years of age, again, all this is according to Rav Yoshia. If you left Mitzrayim and you were under 20 years of age, so and you had no parents, then. Okay. Right. So you're not going to get a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, free cost of matam olam leila techalek aretz mimnei k'shem v'kedoshim klamer lafuk v'rishaim. Now there is another way to interpret the pasuk when it says ka'ela, or I should say rather la'ela, which is understood in this context as ka'ela, which is that it excludes rishaim shebehem shlo yelam chelek ba ve'afilu b'neim enam zochim ba b'shal aviyem ala b'zuchot zekeneihem im hayum adiyot mitzrayim k'darmin lakaman. Okay, we'll discuss this a little bit later as well. It'll really come up in tomorrow's daf, and that is the idea that certain people actually lost their chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll cover that topic a little bit later on. Okay, so where do we stand right now in terms of Rav Yoshia? Rav Yoshia says that the determining factor of Nachla, of receiving a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, is Yetzias Mitzrayim. And an important detail, and that is that you have to have been 20 or above upon leaving Eretz Yisrael in order to have received a chelek. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yonos and Omer, this is still a continuation of the Brisa, and this is the other opinion, the second opinion. Rabbi Yonos and Omer, Labai Haaretz, Nischal Kaharis, and Amar Leila Techalek Haaretz, Benachala. So, and Rabbi Yonos says, no, that in order to be receiving a portion in Chelek in Eretz Yisrael, what do you have to do? You have to be part of those going into Eretz Yisrael. And then you're going to be receiving a Chelek. Elamani, Mekayim, Lishemos, I'm sorry, Lishmos, Matos, Avasam, Yinchalu. What do you do with the other pasuk that gives the indication, although, quite frankly, we haven't even explained the indication, but gives the indication that it's those who left Mitzrayim. So Mishun Nachla Zem, we call Nachla Sheba Olam. So according to Rabbi Yonasan, who says that the determining factor of whether you get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael is whether you enter into Eretz Yisrael and not your exodus from Mitzrayim, still it's going to be an unusual division. What makes it unusual? So first I'll read the Gemara and then we'll explain. Shekol nachlo sheba olam chayim yorshim meisim. Because generally speaking, how does nachla work? It works where somebody dies and you inherit the person who died. However, over here, kan meisim yorshim chayim. But over here, those who are dead are going to inherit from those people who are alive. Okay, that is unbelievably confusing, and even as I explain it, it's still going to be a little bit confusing, but hopefully I will provide the necessary clarity where we'll kind of get it. Goes like this. The Rashma really spells it out. It's thank God for the Rashma. So so it goes like this. Generally speaking, what happens is that when you have an estate, so the estate is a fixed number, and the person dies, and then it's going to be divided based on the number of sons that he has. Okay, so if there are five sons, each one is going to get 20% of the estate. And if there's a bechor, so then the bechor gets 2x. Everyone gets x, and the bechor gets 2x. And okay. Over here, however, when it comes to Yerusha Sa'aretz, the Nacha and the division of the land of Eretz Yisrael, even according to Rav Yonasan, here's how it gets factored. Okay, let's take a look at the Rashbam inside. The Rashbam really does a wonderful job explaining this. So this is how it's going to help. Okay, let's give an example where you have two brothers. The two brothers are Reuven and Shimon. Again, not to be confused with the names of the tribes or the actual tribes themselves. We're just simply giving an example of two brothers who left Mitzrayim. And they were Reuven and Shimon. And let's say Reuven ends up having one child, then Shimon has 10 children. Okay. So now, under these circumstances, what's going to happen? Yudav, Chalak, and Be'eretz. Now, they're going to be receiving 11 portions in Eretz Yisrael. Because of their children, 11 of them now are going into Eretz Yisrael. And what is the determining factor of getting a chalak? Those who enter into Eretz Yisrael. So, there are 11 of them. That's 11 Chalakim. But let's go on. Mechalken osa b'neim lefi cheshma matos avasam. Ki'ilu liyotzim etzraim dahinu ruvein v'shimon avasam. So now what's going to happen is as follows. These 11 portions now are going to revert back to their parents. Now, their fathers. Now, the fathers are no longer alive, and that's exactly the point. Meaning this is unusual in the world of Nachla. In the world of Nachla, it's going forward. Here, for Eretz Yisrael, in the apportionment of Eretz Yisrael, it's going to go backwards. Meaning it's 11 portions, but those 11 portions now go back to the parents, and the parents are two brothers. Let's just assume for our purposes that neither one of them is a Bechor, because that, of course, will make it slightly more complicated. But let's assume now that they're just simply two brothers who are going to be receiving 50%. So the 11 portions now go back to the parents, to the two brothers, to the two fathers who are brothers. So those 11 now are going to be divided 50-50. 5.5, 5.5. Hani yud alef chalakim kagon dahani yotzim mitzrayim hayu bnei esrim dum yed debay aretz dekapit krali in yinachlas eretz yisrael avnei chov kidechsev la'ela v'abanim eina ki im shluchim ba'ama lahav v'lishneim yud alef chalakim. Rashman points out that yes, everyone has to be above 20 years of age. In other words, the fathers had to be above 20 when leaving Mitzrayim, but let's assume that that's true. So in this particular example that we're giving now, so what's going to happen is that you're going to take the 11 portions, they're going to go back to the brothers, they're two brothers, they are 50% holders in the estate, so that means that the 11 portions are going to be divided half and half. V'chozim Reuven v'shimon amrishim livneim. And now that each one of them are going to be receiving 5.5 units of Eretz Yisrael, so now they send it back forward to their children. Now obviously, the one son obviously stands to benefit, because he's going to be receiving now those 5.5 portions. And the 11 sons are going to be receiving 5.5 portions. The way the Rashbam characterizes this is that basically the sons are viewed as shluchim, meaning that's I didn't gloss over it, but I read it quickly. The Rashbam says that really what the sons are they are not necessarily the recipients, but what they are is more like collectors, collecting land for their already deceased father. Then they bring it back to their parents, and it's as if the fathers now got the land, all 11 portions, but because now it is thrown into this pool of Reuven and Shimon, and then cut up, well, they're each one 50% shareholder, and then it goes back forward.
But this is paradoxical, because the more children you have, the smaller your portion is going to be, even though you actually...
Right.
You were credited for the more children that you had initially.
Correct. Yes, in other words, it is unusual, meaning in Nachla, I don't think that this comes up in any other scenario.
But if it's a Nachla, why doesn't he say that two brothers, each one has a portion, and then the children with this, so one gets...
Right,
son,
so that you're back.
Another one divides his one piece in 11.
Right.
In
so,
10.
Because Rav Yoshia, meaning you're back by Rav Yoshia. Rav Yonasan, on one hand, Rav Yonasan, even though he says those who enter into Eretz Yisrael, it's really a blended position. It's not binary, one or the other. Rav Yonasan really has more of a blended approach, which is really, yes, it's those who go into Eretz Yisrael, but goes back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, then goes back to the, and bounces back. So Banesh Ruvin, Notan Lemechsam. Okay, and then the Rashbam goes on to further illustrate this point, but again. So this is what happens now according to Rabbi Yonasan. He has it that the sons that go into the children, again above 20, who go into Eretz Yisrael are going to be receiving each one of them a chelek, but then it goes back to the deceased parents, and then they're going to be dividing it as if they received it themselves, and then it goes back forward to the children. And the Gemara points out, Amar V'kan meisim yoshim. I'm sorry. Am Rabbi em shalacham mashlamah davadama. And Rabbi says, "Look, I know this is a very difficult concept to understand, but he says I'll give you an analogy. All right, some way to just for us to kind of wrap our head around it. So, and it goes something like this: Shnei achim kohanim shayu beirachas echad yesh lo ben echad veechad yesh lo shnei banim. Let's say you have two brothers who are kohanim living in a particular city, and one happens to have one son, and the other one has two sons. So achul agorin." Now, the children go out to the granary, right? The sons of these two brothers. They go out to the granary, and they're going to be collecting their truma as an entitlement to the Kohanim. Mm-hmm. Now, when they go out to the granary, so each one of them is collecting now. So you have three children collecting, and they're going to be receiving three portions. But when they're collecting, they're not really collecting for themselves. They're really collecting for the family. Mm-hmm. So what they're going to do now is they're going to take the three portions of truma, they're going to bring it back to their fathers. And then what's going to happen is that, so now you have the brothers who are, and let's assume that this was conditional, brothers are going to take all the revenue, the truma revenue, divided 50-50, so then the three portions are really going to be one and a half for each brother, and then the parents, the fathers are then going to give to their children, here, you'll take one and a half, and you'll take my one and a half portion, you'll take my one and a half portion. So again, it's the idea that when the sons are collecting, they're not the owners, say, they're the shluchim, they're just simply the messengers who are collecting on behalf of the father. Okay, that's a mashal, it's just simply it's a parable to help us understand it. By us, it's even stranger, meaning even with the mashal, it's stranger. Because where are the parents at this point in time? They're no longer here. Right? They're dead. And yet, those who are going into Eretz Yisrael are collecting on behalf of those who are no longer with us. And that's exactly why Rav Yonasan says, this is strange. I'm going to go reread the line that we saw earlier. Mishuna nachla zimikol nachla sheba olam, shekol nachla sheba olam, chayim yorshim meisim, v'kan meisim yorshim chayim. Okay, it's strange. It's undeniably strange. But that is the way it works according to Rabbi Yonasan. As I pointed out now, so far what do we have? We have two basic positions in terms of how Israel is to be allocated. It's going to be that either contingent on you left Mitzrayim and you were above 20 years of age, that's Rabbi Yoshia, or you entered into Eretz Yisrael when you were above 20 years of age, that's Rabbi Yonasan. But even according to Rabbi Yonasan, however, it's a complex system in which you're collecting, you're then giving it back to your father, who is no longer alive, and then based on his relationship with his brothers, it's going to get redistributed and brought back to you. Okay, so admittedly, even according to Rabbi Yonasan, it's complicated, but that's the division of the land of Eretz Yisrael.
And big difference in what they would get according to one or the other.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. And then, as I pointed out, there's a third opinion. Now, it's kind of hard to understand how there would be a third opinion on this matter, but actually, when you hear it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's a third opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, La Elu Ula Elu Nischalka Aretz. Kedela Kayim Shnei Mikros Halalu. So it's given to those who left Egypt and for those who enter into Eretz Yisrael. Kedela Kayim Shnei Mikros Halalu. Because remember, really, when all said and done, the two psukim are giving two different indications. One pasuk indicates that to get a chelek you have to leave Egypt. The other pasuk seems to indicate that to get a chelek you have to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, well, we'll just simply check both boxes. Yes and yes. Meaning so that if you left Egypt, you're going to get a chelek. If you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to get a chelek. And what if you did both?
Two
so you get two chalakim.
Wow.
Yeah, yes and yes. So Ha Kate said, Hayim Yotzi Mitzrayim Noto Chalko Im Yotzi Mitzrayim. Hayim Ibai Arts Noto Chalko Im Bai Arts. Mikan and Mikan. Now if you're on both ends, Noto Chalko Mikan and Mikan. So then you're going to get a chelek of both and both. So now we can ask the question, and now we're going to answer the question. So who fits into that category? Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, So how many people are we talking about who actually are going to get a chelik for both leaving Egypt and for entering into Eretz Yisrael? So let's take a look at the Rashbam together. Hayah mikan mikan. The Rashbam is the first mid-sized lines on the Amud. Kigon. Reuven shayah ben chav kishiyatzim in Mitzrayim. So let's say Reuven was above 20 when he left Egypt. Vaholi banim bamidbar umeis vabanim hayu ben chav mechnis to some aretz. Notim chelkam bishvil atzmam shein bay haaretz. Venot lenami chelik acher. So, as a simple example now, let's say you have Reuven, who was above 20 when he left Egypt, and he had children through the desert, and he died in the desert. So now, as the children enter into Eretz Yisrael, so they're going to be receiving now a chelek. In other words, they check the box of we enter into Eretz Yisrael. Their father checked the box of Yotzias Mitzrayim. So for them now, that's two chalakim. The Yesh Mefarshim Hayem Mikan Mikan Ba'adam Echad Ma'iri. Now some say the Rashbam explain that it's actually talking about where you can have one person checking both boxes. So the Rashbam, first of all, illustrates a great example where you can have one person checking both boxes, and that is you were above 60 when you left Egypt. The gzera of those confined to the death penalty in the Midbar are only between 20 and 60. So it's possible that you were above 60 upon Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Baruch Hashem, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you, you know, another 40 years plus, and so therefore you're entering into Eretz Yisrael at 100. The Havalei High.
You also get your children's portion who died in the desert. If somebody is 60 and then a 20-year-old son who died.
Well, he doesn't check either box, though. In other words, he didn't leave Egypt and he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael.
The kids.
Huh?
He himself gets a portion because he left Egypt and he's coming back.
Yeah.
But does he also get a portion for his son who
was entering?
But didn't make it to Eretz Yisrael.
No, his son who left Egypt when he was between 20 and 60.
Right.
Uh-huh. I don't know. The Havalei High Gavra Atzma Miyotzei Mitzrayim Be'al Aretz Hilka Chito Shnei Chalakim. So you can actually check both boxes. The Rashbam admits he doesn't love this pshat. Meaning V'lav Milsi He Demishum Bayaretz Lo Yitol Dechiksev La'ela Techalek Aretz Avnei Yotzei Mitzrayim Hu Dechsev Shlo Haya Behem Ish Mepekudei Moshe V'Aron Akon V'lo Yotzei Mitzrayim Atzmam Ka'iv. Rashbam admits he doesn't love that particular pshat. Okay. Anyway, but. Fine. So one way to explain Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is just simply, and admittedly the Rashbam doesn't love it, is that you could have somebody who checks both, who left Egypt and who entered Eretz Yisrael, but the Rashbam's preferred pshat is no. In other words, if you left Egypt when you were above 20, so you're going to get a portion, and then your child who goes into Eretz Yisrael, so he's going to get a portion as well. So in other words, though, for that child, he's actually getting two portions. Mm-hmm. The one he gets and his father's for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay.
Had to be also 20, those who entered?
The Rashbam says it.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Back to the Gemara. So, sorry. Mikan otachel kanochem miraglim. Okay. Miraglim, Yehoshua, Vikalev, Natlu Chelkan. Okay, now, we're still in the Brisa. Meaning, this is a very long Brisa. The Brisa started in the Amud Aleph right after the Gemara, and we're still continuing. Meaning, the Brisa over here just super organized. What do you need to in order to get a chelik? So we have three opinions in the Brisa. Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Yoshia says Exodus. Rabbi Yonasan says Hachnas La'aretz. But again, with a put an asterisk over there because it's in terms of how it's divided, it's a little bit complicated. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says both. And then the Braisa goes on now on to tell us that there are some people who forfeit their chelik, and notably Meraglim. So those 10 spies who went into Eretz Yisrael, so they're going to forfeit their chelik. When I say forfeit their chelik, meaning that they had children and their children went into Eretz Yisrael, but the children did not receive their parents' chelik. And if it's forfeited, so who gets it? Meaning it doesn't just simply disappear. So Yoshua v'Kalev, not Luchel Kam. So the Brisa tells us that Yoshua and Kalev are going to be the recipients of their portions. So they're going to be receiving an additional, Yoshua and Kalev, an additional 10 portions. How did the Brisa arrive at that conclusion? Stay tuned. The Gemara later on will discuss that. Miss Lonenim, the Adas Karach Lo Yalam Chelik Ba'aretz. Both the group of the Mislonanim, that's Parshas Baal Oscha, and Adas Korach, that's in Parshas Korach. So so they also forfeit their portion. Habanim Natlu B'Zchus Avi Avihem U'B'Zchus Avi Imoseihem. So now, if you were a descendant of any of these groups, so how did you receive any kind of land in Eretz Yisrael? So grandparents. Okay, period. Ad kan divrei habraisa. Okay, so you can put a mark over here. We'll get to the two dots in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, the braisa now has basically been recording to us some of the most basic issues regarding getting land in Eretz Yisrael. So what is the determining factor? Three opinions of the braisa. And then the braisa gives us a small select group of people who forfeited based on their behavior, forfeited land in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in some occasions, it is just simply given over to somebody else, Kalev and Yoshua. And in other positions, it's just simply forfeited, and that's it. My mashma dehailush mos matos avasam yotzim mitzrayim ksiv. Dimel shvatim kamar la. Gemara asks now a really simple question. The Gemara has been assuming in this entire discussion that the psukim that we went through, meaning Perich Avav Parshas Pinchas, so there seems to be a stira. The Gemara says, really? There seems to be a stira? It doesn't seem to be a stira. Meaning, on one hand, the Torah says, La Eila Techalek Ha'art Benachla B'mispar Shemos, meaning to these people who are about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So that seems to be a pretty clear indication that it's to those entering into Eretz Yisrael, and then just a couple of psukim later, it says Lishmos Matos Avasam Yichalu, and the Gemara, the Brice is assuming, oh, that's talking about Yotzim Mitzrayim. The Gemara now asks a really simple question: how do I know that? That really is talking about Yotzim Mitzrayim. Where's the indication? Where's the strong indication that that's talking about Yotzim Mitzrayim? That's the Gemara's question. Lishmos Matos Avasam Yotzim Mitzrayim Ksev Dilma Lishvotim Kamarla. Could very well be that it's just talking directly to the shevet. The word matos means shevet. So the Gemara says, "Dechsiv nasati osa lachem marasha ani Hashem Yerushihi lachem me'avosechem uliyotzim Mitzrayim kamar lehu." So the Gemara says you have to go all the way back to Shmos Parshas Va'era, and the pasuk says, "Venasati osa lachem." I'm giving it to you. Obviously, the audience of that is that generation, meaning Yotzim Mitzrayim. So Yerushihi lachem me'avosechem uliyotzim Mitzrayim kamar lehu. Obviously, the Gemara tells us that audience over there is Yotzim Mitzrayim, those who are leaving Egypt. So that is how we know that the pasuk in Pinchas is making reference to those who are Yotzim Mitzrayim, which again brings us to the simple stira of what is the determinant. Is it Yotzim Mitzrayim or is it Hachnas La'aretz? Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with more on the discussion of Benos Safchai.